Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are wrestling with, well, a serious paradox in modern leadership. I mean, look around you. The pace of change, it's absolutely relentless.
It really is. We're seeing rapid tech disruption, supply chains just getting completely redrawn.
Exactly. And the expectations on CEOs now are just fundamentally different than even, what, 5 years ago?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
And that speed, it creates more than just a challenge. It's like genuine existential vertigo for leaders sometimes.
Right.
But what our source material digs into, and what's kind of surprising, is how leaders in that frantic chase for the next big thing often forget the really essential stuff.
The timeless lessons.
Precisely. The things that have actually stayed constant despite all the chaos. Yeah. We pour so much energy into what's new, we kind of overlook the foundations that actually last.
And that lasting foundation is what we're calling legacy thinking for this deep dive. It sounds a bit lofty, maybe, but it seems like a really crucial way to operate.
It is. It's practical.
So what exactly are we asking you, the listener, to focus on here?
Legacy thinking. Fundamentally, it's about shifting your perspective. It means focusing on the future, yes, but while really honoring those timeless principles, you know, the things that define human effectiveness, resilience in an organization.
Okay.
It demands looking way beyond the immediate stuff, like past the quarterly results, past how long any one manager is there.
Even past the organization itself in its current form.
Yeah, exactly. The aim is for a lasting impact on the people and the culture that genuinely outlives the leader.
So the immediate goal might be hitting a target, but the legacy thinker's goal is bigger. It's about that lasting human impact.
That's it. So today, we're diving into what truly lasts when everything else is shifting under our feet. And we're going to tear apart what the source calls the illusion of permanence.
The illusion of permanence. I like that. What's the illusion part?
The illusion is believing you can sort of wait. Wait for the disruption to pass before you start thinking about your legacy.
Ah, okay. Let's unpack that then. Because if markets are shifting overnight and tech makes best practices obsolete like every year or so, how do you create anything enduring? It feels like trying to build on, well, quicksand.
And that's the core insight, right? It's so tempting to see legacy as this luxury item.
Yeah, I'll get to that later when things settle down.
Exactly. But the sources are really clear. Things don't settle down. Not really. Legacy isn't about what happens after you're gone. It's about what happens because of how you lead. Right here, right now, today.
Okay, I get the reframing. But if strategy and structure are just constantly being swapped out for the next big idea and the ground keeps shifting, what's the bedrock then? What actually does last?
Well, when things change that fast, the enduring core is absolutely not your strategy. Strategies decay, they become outdated.
Right.
What lasts are your principles. Those core values, the integrity of the relationships you build, the fundamental ways of working that empower other people to thrive long after you've moved on, those are the constants.
That connects directly to something the sources call the progress paradox. It's fascinating. If you look at the leadership conversation, say, since around 2016, huge shift.
Oh, definitely. Back then, what was it? All performance, strategy, execution, squeezing out efficiencies.
Purely the hard, measurable skills.
Yeah.
Numbers, basically.
Yep. And now, look at what organizations are genuinely worried about today. It's all psychological safety, belonging, empathy, purpose.
So the paradox is, by focusing only on the hard stuff, the speed and execution,
we unintentionally kind of undermine the very foundation, the human capital you need for any kind of sustainable long-term success.
Wow. So what everyone used to dismiss as soft skills is now seen as like vital infrastructure. That's quite an inversion.
It is. And the sources suggest that real progress isn't just about doing things faster or smarter. It's maybe about becoming better humans as we do it.
Humanizing progress. I like that.
Yeah. And legacy thinkers, they're not anti-innovation. Not at all. They embrace it. But they get what must never be sacrificed in that process.
Which is?
Dignity, trust, and meaning. Those three. They use those like a moral compass to filter every single decision, big or small.
A moral compass that stops you confusing just sheer movement with actual progress. That's a key distinction.
Absolutely. Because you can be moving incredibly fast, adopting all the latest AI, whatever.
Mm.
But if you're sacrificing dignity or trust or meaning along the way,
like by dehumanizing your workforce or breaking promises.
Right. Then you're just busy. You're not actually making sustainable progress. The movement might look good on paper for a bit.
But the impact is corrosive.
Exactly. And the second that leader leaves, the whole thing often just collapses because the principles, the foundation wasn't there. It was ignored.
Okay. So if we accept that premise, it leads straight to the next question. What did these sources, and they tracked, what, 50 global execs through major crises like 2008, the pandemic?
Yeah, a really comprehensive study.
What did they find were the non-negotiable traits, the things shared by leaders who actually built that lasting legacy? What are the real actionable constants for our listeners?
Okay, so they boiled it down to three immutable truths. And these seem to hold up across different industries, different economic cycles. They're really the practical application of legacy thinking.
All right, let's dig in. Truth number one, great leaders foster belonging, not dependency.
This one really challenges that old model of the heroic, indispensable leader, you know, the one everyone relies on for everything.
Yeah, I'm the only one who can fix this type.
Yeah. Legacy leaders get that their job is actually to develop people who absolutely do not need them to succeed in the long run. They actively replace that dependency.
Which relies so much on that one leader's personality, their presence.
Right. They replace it with community.
Okay, but what does that look like, practically speaking? How do you actually build community instead of dependency?
Well, it means distributing power more. It means fostering a genuine culture of trust. See, in a dependency model, all the wisdom flows up to the leader. All the decisions flow down.
Very top down.
Very. But in a legacy-driven community, the idea is that everyone is trusted to contribute. Everyone feels part of something bigger than just their job description. And crucially, people feel responsible for helping their peers succeed. That's vital for scaling anything.
I can see that. So the leader's real legacy isn't measured by how many people report to them, but by how strong that culture is.
Exactly. Where peers naturally lift each other up, where success is spread out, not centralized, you're building a robust ecosystem, not just a pedestal for yourself.
Because if the whole operation grinds to a halt the minute you walk out the door,
then your legacy is just your resume.
Right.
It's not an enduring system. Okay, so that leads directly into truth number two. They model consistency amid chaos.
And let's face it, turbulent times are pretty much the default setting now.
Seems like it.
So when the market's going crazy, people don't actually need a leader who pretends to have all the strategic answers. Because honestly, those answers might be useless tomorrow.
Right. They might change hour by hour sometimes. What people really crave is stability in the leader's character.
Consistency.
Consistency. It doesn't mean you never change strategy. Of course you do. It means you don't change your communication style erratically. You don't compromise your integrity. You stick to your core commitment to fairness.
Got an example.
Yeah. One exec in the study mentioned that during the worst of the 2008 crash, like really bad news days, he always made a point to just chat about his weekend for a minute first before dropping the bad news.
Why? Seems small.
To remind everyone, including himself perhaps, that they were human beings first and employees second, even when things were dire.
That's actually really powerful. It's tangible. That predictability and character, it creates a kind of psychological safety net for the whole team.
Absolutely. It lets them focus on the actual work instead of constantly trying to read the leader's mood or predict their reactions.
So legacy thinkers stay calm not because they aren't feeling the pressure.
Oh, they feel it.
But because they intentionally hold up things like clarity, honesty, fairness as the constants, even when the operational strategy is, you know, shifting weekly, that behavioral consistency is the bedrock.
It really is. Okay, and finally, truth number three, which kind of brings us full circle back to that moral compass idea. They measure impact in lives, not just numbers.
Okay, this is the one that feels hardest, maybe. To sell upwards to a board that's laser-focused on quarterly results.
It can be. But the leaders we truly remember, the ones whose legacies genuinely last generations, they're the ones who tangibly improve the human condition somehow.
Through invention or innovation, sure.
Yes, but often it's through things that seem simpler, like exceptional mentoring that changes someone's trajectory, or demonstrating incredible integrity when facing huge pressure to compromise, or maybe establishing real equity in the workplace where it didn't exist before.
But how do legacy leaders defend that? When the pushback is all about hitting the numbers this quarter, defending metrics based on human life improvement.
Well, the sources tackle this directly. They argue you have to redefine performance. You defend it by showing, compellingly, that integrity, mentorship, dignity, these aren't just nice to haves. They are the long-term drivers of collective output, innovation, and crucially, talent retention.
Ah, so it's an investment.
It's the ultimate investment. If all you leave behind are impressive revenue figures, but no improved lives, no empowered successors ready to take over, no deep cultural trust, that legacy just evaporates. The sources basically say that improved lives are the ultimate competitive advantage because they guarantee the quality and commitment of your next generation of leaders.
That really reframes performance away from just individual stats towards collective, enduring resilience. Okay, let's connect these three truths to the future now, because the next generation, they're inheriting this world of hyperconnectivity and increasingly AI.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how the idea of peer wisdom fits in. The source has really hammered this point. Leadership is never a solo act. The wisdom you get from your peers, people who see things differently, it constantly reminds you that no single person ever has the whole picture. The best leaders, they intentionally create spaces for others to challenge them, to support them. They use that peer counsel as kind of an antidote to the ego that can creep in with success.
That makes sense. You know, we often talk about legacy like it's some kind of monument.
Yeah.
Carved in stone, rigid, unchanging.
Yes, static.
But the source material seems to suggest it's much more like maybe a melody?
Well, that's a brilliant metaphor, seriously.
Yeah.
Because a melody, it changes depending on who plays it, the instrument, the room.
Right. Your job isn't to control the final performance down to the last note. It's to write a really compelling, robust score. Those core principles we talked about that other people can then take, carry forward, interpret in their own way.
Right. Maybe even march to a slightly different drummer eventually. Mm-hmm. The goal is to inspire this ongoing conversation, this evolution, not to have the final absolute word.
And that idea, the ongoing conversation, leads right into these really crucial, almost existential questions that future leaders, really, any leader now needs to face. These are the questions, listeners, you should be applying to your own work.
Okay, question one. What will truly matter when your current products, your current services, inevitably become obsolete? Because they will.
Ooh, okay. Second, what remains when your titles fade? When your professional identity shifts, as it inevitably does over a career?
And the third one, maybe the most revealing. How will people describe the experience of working with you 10 years from now?
Wow, that last one, that's the ultimate gut check on your character, isn't it? And the durability of your principles.
It really is. And legacy thinkers, they face these questions head on because they understand that critical difference between humans and machines. Technology might automate processes with incredible speed,
but it can never automate purpose.
Exactly. AI might mimic intelligence, maybe even creativity someday, who knows? But it can never, ever replicate our core humanity, our capacity for genuine empathy, for shared meaning, for courage in the face of uncertainty.
So the sources are saying those who really thrive in this coming age of AI will be the ones who combine aggressive innovation
with doubling down on what makes us uniquely human.
Okay, so what does that mean ultimately for how we define success going forward?
It means valuing things like curiosity and compassion, not just as virtues, but as actual keys to competitive advantage. We're going to see performance redefined, less about individual heroic brilliance.
And more about collective outputs.
Yes. Those leaders who can genuinely foster teams where people trust each other, where they produce meaningful results together, and where they truly believe their work matters, they'll be the ones leading for the long haul.
That collective mindset feels like the final call to action here for every leader listening. The mission hasn't really changed, has it? It's timeless. Leave things better than you found them.
Fundamentally, yes.
And your legacy, at the end of the day, it's going to be measured not by the size of the building you built or the market share you grabbed, but by the people whose lives you genuinely improved. Or didn't.
Mm-hmm. And as this pace of change just keeps accelerating, AI, climate shifts, whatever disruption is next, the qualities that will really anchor us, the enduring ones, they're deeply human.
Okay.
Like listening closely, really listening, trusting first as a default stance, and being courageously curious about other people's perspectives, their needs, their experiences. Mm-hmm. When everything else is swirling, those are the things that hold the center steady.
That's a powerful synthesis. And for you, the listener, a final thought from the source material. Don't confuse movement with progress. As you look at your own work this week, ask yourself this really challenging question. When technology eventually automates many of your current processes, and it likely will, are you genuinely confident that the uniquely human qualities you bring to the table right now, your compassion, your fairness, your empathy, are strong enough to be your competitive advantage then? Think about that.